believe God gave me that idea. I'm not going to blame it on God, but I literally believe God gave me that idea. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. Luke's Gospel, the first chapter. The Bible talks about Zacharias and Elizabeth. And that whole chapter is just so filled with powerful truth. Luke chapter 1, verse 8. I'd really like to give a title to our message this morning, God Keeps His Word. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office, speaking of Zacharias, before God at the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying, moving verses. The whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. I'm doing this chapter, I can't read it straight. I just have to stop and, wow, this is a wow chapter. Thy prayer is heard. I'm going to say it. You can receive it. I receive it. Thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth went on to say, shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness. What have we been experiencing the last couple of months around here in a greater way? God's kingdom, God's house, God's people. God wants us to have joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Hallelujah. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Boy, is that prophetic of our day and time. One of our great jobs as pastor in churches is to keep people's hearts prepared as they cooperate, of course, with that. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Now, here's a little bit of warning. Don't back off the word. Zacharias did believe, but his hesitation cost him a reprimand from God. Because he said, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife was well stricken in years. I mean, that's self-explanatory. But God had spoken. But God had spoken. And God's word trumps every circumstance. God's word is above all. Amen. It's amazing how many people misinterpret the Bible, even concerning our nation and national things. But our forefathers were literalists. They believed the word. This nation was founded on the word of God. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel. Wrong rejection there. God sent Gabriel all the way from heaven. God had spoken. Zacharias said, how in the world is it going to be? And Gabriel said, excuse me, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee to show thee these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things... Watch it now. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Aren't you glad that in spite of our oft-times hesitation. There's enough of God's word in us to bounce back pretty quick. You know, that's the good thing about being a word person. It's not that we never miss it, but when we miss it, boy, there's a tug of the Spirit inside of us as to get back on track. I want to say that one more time. It's not that we can't miss it, not that we don't miss it, but when we do miss it, thank God for the Holy Spirit who gives us that nudge from God, get back on track. Amen. There shall be a performance. These things shall be performed because thou believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So the word will be fulfilled, but there's a little price tag there. And verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the thought and theme that I would like to really make what I want to say, praise God, praise be unto God. I'll pick all my notes up here in just a moment. Thank you. Thank you so much, Robbie. Is that God keeps his word. If you believe that, could I hear a good amen? Thank you, Lord. There's three insights that I love to minister whenever the opportunity comes. I often try to do this once a year at least, if at all possible. But there's three insights about our Lord concerning God keeping his word. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, we find a man by the name of Simeon who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word consolation really, as best my understanding helps me to see it, is like an attorney who takes our part, one who takes your case, one who takes your side. And so the first thing that we see, Simeon was in the temple. He was waiting. Especially every worship day, don't you know that Simeon was wondering, is today the day when Christ will be revealed? And thank God there was a day when Christ did come. The babe did come. And the consolation of Israel had arrived. One who is for us. God for us. You know, I love Psalms 56 and verse 4. David said, but this I know, God is for me. Romans the 8th chapter said, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is not for our shortfalls or our shortcomings or our sins or whatever, but God is for us. God is not against us. I want to say that emphatically. Don't you let the devil ever put that one on you that God is not for you. God is for you. Matthew chapter 1 verse 23 said you'll call his name Emmanuel. That is God with us. God with us, living among us. God with us. How in the world could God understand us if he was not never with us? Well, it's hard for me to understand how not, but God made sure, God sent his only begotten Son into this world. Sent his only begotten Son into this world, who walked among us, was born in a very lowly way, and came into this world and grew up, and learned and grew in favor with God and man. At the age of 12, he was disputing with the theologians in the temple. Then, of course, in his earthly ministry, he went about doing good. How that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy. For God was with him. God with us, living among us. Living among us. You see, God is not only for us, but he's been among us. Until I traveled overseas and some of the places where I've been, I never really thoroughly understood what so many of the people of the world are facing that we have such an abundance of here in the United States of America. And that's not a statement of condemnation. There are many situations that would be much better if they had the right God. I want to say that again. One of the great reasons that America is a land that is so blessed, it's not that we're without sin, it's not that we're not without faults and failures and whatever, but this nation was founded on godly principles. I keep coming back to this. And I encourage every one of you, get up to speed on understanding how this nation began and the beginning of this nation and our forefathers and, you know, the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and just getting back to understand what this nation is all about. And we keep hearing these things. Well, we just need to modernize this nation. You know what they're saying there? They're saying we need to get God out of the way. Over in France, when the terrorist in a truck ran over, 12 people, I think, died in the process of that. But in the midst of it all, the word in Europe now is, don't do anything Christmas because it stirs up ISIS. Do you see what is happening? We have the same thing happening here in the United States of America. You know, it's not politically correct. Thank God we're beginning to see some manger scenes come back again. Thank God, even Merry Christmas. That may not be the most profound faith statement, but it is, under the circumstances, a faith statement that people make. Last year, when people would say, you know, happy holidays, I'd bear down on it with a big smile on my face, and they'd stutter and sputter. But, you know, even those I've had to kind of nicely correct, they pop back and say, yes, Merry Christmas. That's a subtle thing, but it's a real thing. Do you understand that even here in America, think about it, throughout Europe, they had those little Christian festivals and things they were doing which remind people of the Christmas story. And so the word is out, take those booths down. Take down anything that speaks of Christmas. Take down anything that speaks of Christ. Take down any. See, the world is still after Jesus. You can remotely get away with the good Lord a little bit, but boy, you can't get by with the J word. But thank God, the J word's back in town, honey. The J word's back in town. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thank God thou shalt call his name Jesus. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. So God is for us. And God came to be with us. But the greatest thing I could say about Jesus is Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Well, now, Brother Nichols, that's a nice verse, but you know, all roads lead to heaven. And all sincere people, you know, God would not send anyone to hell that was sincerely following what they believed to be right. First of all, God doesn't send people to hell. People make their own choice. People make their own choice in what they do. But I'm telling you, all roads do not lead to heaven. And not in a mean way, but in a firm way and in a Jesus way and with a smile on your face. We've got to get back to telling people Jesus is the way. I started doing something. I thank God our staff, they do it so well. But one day it just hit me. I mean, a couple in a marriage coming up, they were young missionaries. And they said, could you just include the salvation appeal that I hear you doing in our wedding ceremony. We have several family coming, and could you do that? That's the first time I had a request, and that was back even in the post office on Berry Street. And so we did, and some people accepted Christ in that wedding. I mean, after, you know, as a result of giving the plan of salvation and having people confess Jesus, and then, you know, praying over that. And then the thought came to me, you know, I'm still amazed. I hear preachers doing such a fabulous job, except they'd make poor salesmen. They don't close the deal. I mean, they dance all around about, you know, well, he's a good old boy and he went to heaven, or she's a nice lady and went to heaven, you know, and we all ought to go to heaven. Kind of, how's your mom and them is, you know. I mean, they don't tie the knot. And that's why I've just locked in on it. Whenever if they're going to take my time for a memorial service, I'm going to take my time to talk about Jesus. Amen. And so, you know, we do that. And I thank God. I've been in a number of services with our own staff. They do a marvelous job on this. And, you know, we may not be perfect in everything, but we do a lot of things right around here. We have altar calls. If you're here this morning and you didn't know Jesus, you had an opportunity to be born again and spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a big deal. That's a lot more important than my great sermon or the great music we've had this morning. That people have the opportunity to accept Christ. Dear God, there are so many people, and in a church like that, God will send people to a church like that who have just one more opportunity. Why should the Holy Spirit lead someone somewhere where they don't have a clue on how to accept Christ? Well, I didn't mean to, I got off on that one, but I'm still on track. Thank God for altar calls. We give the plan of salvation at weddings, and we give the plan of salvation in memorial services. Praise be unto God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. No matter how wonderful a Christian this dear brother or this dear sister was, give somebody else the opportunity to have the same experience with Jesus, to be born again. Well, it will hurt somebody's feelings. Tough. You talk about hurting somebody's feelings, spend eternity in hell is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. Man, it's Christmas and I'm hitting it hard. Praise God. But thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know, Christmas is all about Jesus. If you didn't get a present, if we didn't have a turkey, if we didn't have cranberry sauce, if we didn't have dressing, if we didn't get together and have a wonderful festive time, it's all about Jesus. If we sat on a rock and had pork and beans, and had Jesus in our heart, it's a good Christmas. Because one day you'll be eating at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you'll see Jesus face to face. And we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. Hallelujah. I had some quiet moments yesterday and just a lot of things. It's been a very busy time, a lot of things. And I just began to think and reflect. Thank God, whatever I am, whatever I'm not, I know Jesus. Whatever I am, whatever I'm not, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Whatever I am, whatever I'm not, I've been able to encourage a lot of other people. Hallelujah. Whatever I am, whatever I'm not, we have a church that's a Jesus church. This is not a show-and-go church. This is a Jesus church. I want to say it again. It's a Jesus church. Hallelujah. He's not the excuse for the season. He's the reason for the season. Thank God for Jesus. Well, you see, I received that and I thank God for that. But I want to just tie it a little bit tighter, and then we'll be through here this morning. You know, God keeps His word. Isaiah 55 said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it." God's word is a word of blessing. It's not only a word of salvation, but it's a word of blessing. It's a word of prosperity. It's a word of good tidings. You go into a hospital room when every doctor's report say that someone can't live. But thank God we come with the latest message from heaven. All things are possible. The other night with Brother Wayne Cooper, I mean, the report was not good. In fact, they were calling the family. I mean, you say, "That's, I just saw him walking around here." Yeah, yeah, that's what I keep telling you. Live ready. Live ready. Live every day with eternity in view. Amen. I don't mean to be, I'm not being morbid about it. I'm just saying, folks, we need to live ready. If there's anything you need to say, say it. If there's anything you need to do, do it. If there's anything you need to give, give it. Do it now. Do it now. Some of you will have extra opportunities with family before this day is over. God will give you an insight to that. Have some testimonies. So, you know, I have some things I'm very thankful about. Tell them what God's done for you. Call everyone to have a prayer of rededication. Any good Baptist will rededicate with you. Lead them in a prayer of rededication, which is a prayer of salvation. Praise God. Amen. I just put it out there. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The prophets of old spoke. In fact, actually in Micah 5, 2, I'm not going to turn and read it for the sake of time, but it was prophesied he would be born in Bethlehem. You say, how come he's born in Bethlehem? Of course, God said so. How come it happened just like the word of God said? Because God gave the word. God keeps his word. And then not only was he born there, but in Matthew chapter 2, reading further in verses 12 through 15, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Joseph, that king is up to no good. Don't go back and talk to him. Flee to Egypt. Take your child, the Christ child, and flee to Egypt. What in the world is Jesus doing down in Egypt? Because God said so. Pays to do what God says to do. God said, go to Egypt. He didn't say, stay in Egypt. He said, go to Egypt. And so Joseph went. And there's an interesting verse there. You know, Herod the king and all of his terror. But there's also a verse that said, and when Herod died. Church, listen to me. Herods always die. Oh, the thing you think will never go away. Start rejoicing. Herods die. Because he picked a fight with God. You don't pick a fight with God. Herods die. So why was Jesus taken down to Egypt? Because God through his prophets said it was going to be that way. Praise be unto God. Flee to Egypt, he said. And now Joseph comes. Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. They come and dwell in a city called Nazareth. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, that he, Jesus, shall be called a Nazarene. What's he doing in Nazareth? Because God said so. What are you believing for? What are you holding on to? What is the promise that you're embracing? What are the things that you know God has promised you? There shall be a fulfillment. There shall be a performance, because God keeps his word. Hallelujah. So Bethlehem and Egypt and Nazareth were prophesied by the prophets of old under the inspiration of God Almighty. And it came to pass. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Do we do communion today? All right. Amen. No one messed up on that in my head. I'm moving quick. I wanted just to encourage you. God keeps his word. Say it out loud. God keeps his word. We're saved by the word. We're kept by the word. We win victorious over the word. We're overcomers through the word. And we'll spend eternity in heaven by the word of God. Hallelujah. We're on the winning side, saints. We're on the joy and gladness side. Hey, it's time to be happy. Time to rejoice. Jesus is Lord. Praise God, praise God. Brother Robert, you and Pam, come up here. Come quickly if you will. Thank God, thank God. Amen and amen. You remember the story I told you about the lady that left our church many years ago? Went back to the church because she missed the flickering of the candles. She came back about 2 weeks later and she said, you know, I asked someone in our church, I don't remember, where are the children? She said, dear, don't you remember, we don't have children in our church. We're just mature Christian adults. So in spite of missing the flickering of the candles, she came back where kids are welcome and where children are taught the word of God. Amen. And lived happily ever after and went on to be with Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we have children with us today, and what are we going to do?
I thought we would bring them down front over here. We're going to give them a stocking today.
Oh, good.
And I thought we could read the story out of Luke, the second chapter of the coming of Christ. Would you like to do that, or would you like for me to do that? Okay. I'd like for all the kids to come down front if you could. All the children to come down front. Come right down here. Right down here. And sit right here. You sit right here. Yep, facing us. Come down here, guys. Awesome. Come on down real quick. Now, church, this is your future here. This is the church of today, as Pastor says. And I'm going to read the story out of Luke. I want everybody to sit down. Go ahead. You guys have a sit. Just like we do in children's church. And we read a story. Mrs. White, could you find Luke, the second chapter? I put some things in there. Here we go. And we're going to sit down, just like we do in children's church. And we're going to read you the story. And this is the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And it's very simple and very short. It's only 21 verses. But in these 21 verses, it tells the whole story of what happens whenever God talks to people and people obey and listen and do what he says to do. How many of you boys and girls in here listen to the word of God? and listen to your parents and obey your parents. Good job, guys. Good job. Well, listen up real intently. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Savior of the world was a baby. The Savior of the world was a little bitty boy and a little bitty girl just like you. Grew up just like you. Had to learn from his parents. Had to obey his parents. Had to go to school just like you. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known, saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Boys and girls, you're being told the story of Jesus Christ. And we're going to glorify God for the rest of our lives, because you're going to live on this earth and you're going to be a blessing to those around you. And then you get to go to heaven and live for eternity with Jesus Christ. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And now when the days of purification according to the law, Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So boys and girls, I'm presenting you to the Lord today, that each and every one of you boys and girls in here are blessed because you have a heritage of believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So I want all the parents and all the families to stretch your hands out towards these children, because this is the future of our church. So Father, we speak a blessing over them. Father, we bless each and every one of these boys and girls right now, that every day of their life they will serve you, they will put you first, and they will glorify you through their actions and their deeds. And every person they come in contact will know that they have the Son of God inside their heart, that the light will shine, and that there'll be no darkness around them, because when they walk in a room, the glory of God has already prepared the room for them. So I speak a Christmas blessing on these boys and girls today, just before they get their stockings and before they go home and spend time with their families. Boys and girls, you are blessed. Everybody help me say this, congregation. Say, children.
Children.
You are blessed. Awesome. Well, Pastor, we're going to be handing these out real quick. Would you like to have, hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead and clap your hands. Thank you.
I want to say this one thing. This is, at this time, in, I don't know the exact date and so on, but Robert and Pam are celebrating 20 years of teaching and ministering to our youth. 20 at Calvary here. Give them a good hand clap, would you? We love and appreciate them so much. All right. Do you need the mic? All right. Of course, these certainly are not all of our children. A lot were not able to be here because of... There we go. Aren't they cute? Praise God. Thank God. All right. Brother John Hall, would you come and lead us? And oh, come all you faithful. Could you do that, brother? Brother John's been very busy going to a number of churches here recently. We love John and Judy and appreciate them so much. I think that's a good voice for that, good range for that bass voice. May the Lord bless you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. I know many are going to join with your families now. Thank you for coming, being a part of our Christmas morning celebration. God bless you. Go with God. Thank God things are as good as they are. Yes, if you'd like a point set up. We'll be right back.
moved to San Antonio several years ago.